WICC 600, Southern Connecticut's news and information station, and we are doing the talk of the town. And let me share a secret with you. First of all, it's no secret for Jim Buchanan, who's off today. I'm J.J. Kennedy. All right, my secret, and I mentioned it earlier, is I don't do Facebook. I just don't want to get involved. There's nothing I need to post. There's no one I want to check out. I have no desire to do this, and I know I am in the minority. So today, the talk of the town is talking to Dr. Susana Flores, clinical psychologist and author of Face Hooked. Welcome, Dr. Flores.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me on your show.
Dr. Flores, what is Face Hooked?
Well, this is a good way to start. Originally, it was supposed to be a social networking tool to use as entertainment, to keep up with our family, friends, and, you know, just be able to express ourselves in a different way. It has been used for several other reasons and has taken a life of its own in other social and psychological ways.
All right, but now you've written this book called Face Hooked.
Yes.
And what is that in relation to Facebook?
Face Hooked is, the title actually reflects the content of the book in that many of us are no longer taking a passive view on digital expression, but are actually relying more and more of it to either validate our experience or to express ourselves or know ourselves in a new way. So, for example, many people are spending way more time on Facebook than they even realize, checking it the first thing in the morning. You know, you grab your phone, you check your newsfeed, and it's the last thing that many people check at night. Additionally, psychologists are finding, in particular, that more and more people are neglecting their real-life relationships, such as their family, their friends, their work, and replacing it with their digital expressions. So the validation that we're seeking comes from our digital connections, many of which we don't even know, right? They could be perfect strangers that we're inviting into our personal lives. Mm-hmm. And we're spending less and less time together. You know, like dinner parties have been substituted for group IMs or instant messages.
Oh, great.
The happy birthday calls are now substituted by a quick happy birthday post. Click, my obligation has been met. And, we are definitely more connected in this era, more than we ever have, and there's many benefits to social media. I want to make it clear, I am a social media freak. I love social media. This is not a get-off-Facebook kind of book. Nor is it criticizing that. It is more about just noticing some of the changes that are happening to us on a social and psychological level, and coming back to balance with our reality.
That's fascinating. And what I also find as you're talking about this is that this really started with teens originally, right? The Facebook from the college, you know, students.
Yeah, it was supposed to, it was a college networking site, and it took a life of its own.
Right. Now, the college students and the teenagers today, and even the younger kids, are they still as into Facebook as they were, or has Facebook been taken over by a new generation, an older generation? Have those kids been, like, you know, Facebooked out already and looking for something else?
Well, you know, according to the Pew Report, on social media, many teens and young adults are still on Facebook. Like, Facebook is still the number one site to be on because that's where everyone is on. That being said, many of today's teens are also migrating to other sites, many of which are more photographic or photograph or video intensive, such as Instagram,
right.
Vine, DeviantArt. The list is tremendous, and more sites are being created every day. So to answer your question, many of them are migrating, but some of them maintain their Facebook profiles just to continue to have that level of connection. And many of them that I interviewed actually also keep a profile as a decoy for parents. You know, like I will post something about myself, and my parents ask me about it, and so therefore they're distracted from the 15 other networks that I'm on.
How does Facebook affect the way we look at ourselves and others? And is it a realistic way to look at ourselves and others? Why do we need, all of a sudden, you talk about validation in your book.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yes. Why do we need Facebook for validation? What is this?
You know, the like feature is one of the most powerful, psychologically powerful features of Facebook. It's almost genius. It has shown us, your studies have shown us that to receive a push notification of a like or a comment on one of our posts is actually triggering the same areas of the brain as food and sex.
Really?
Right? We're getting dopamine hits every time we get that because it's validating our experience, right? Now, I love the way that you phrase your question, like, do we need it? I would argue that we don't. In fact, that I would argue that our real-life relationships should actually validate more of our experiences than our digital expressions do, our digital connections do. But what makes the likes or the validation on Facebook so powerful is that, you know, on a one-to-one level, I could tell someone of some achievement that I did, right? But if I post it on Facebook, it's seen by hundreds, if not thousands, of people at the same time. Mm-hmm. So my ego will receive a super boost, you know, which by numbers alone would make me believe that they are more meaningful.
You just said a magic word, believe.
Right, right. We believe that. You know, additionally, we believe that, you know, we are truly being validated. But honestly, what's being validated is what we choose to share on Facebook, mm-hmm. right? And, you know, what we're reacting to is what people choose to post on it. And even those of us who are not overtly enhancing or exaggerating our posts, right? And we've certainly seen people that do that, you know, Photoshop or filters mm-hmm. or et cetera, right? Most of us, you know, when we post something, we pause, reflect, and we, you know, delete, because, you know, we're trying, I've been guilty of that too, you know, we're trying to create a post or an expression that we believe that other people will approve of through likes, right? So in that sense, you know, our relationships are changing too because our friends on Facebook are no longer our friends, but they're our audience, and we're becoming performers.
That's so interesting because I was just going to say, are we creating who we want to be through Facebook? Or the younger people or even older people, we can create who we want to be. And then is there a letdown when we find out perhaps we are not what we say we are?
Absolutely. You know, we are getting, you know, people are showing depression in record numbers, you know, based on prolonged, again, this is prolonged social media use, not necessarily those that just check in from time to time, right? But, you know, the longer you spend on social media, you're receiving multiple messages from multiple people at multiple times throughout the day, right? And any receiving that kind of input is bound to confuse you. You know, I often argue, like, I don't know if we were designed to receive that much input, you know, about ourselves throughout the, you know, the day, or about other people for that matter. So, yes, you know, it does allow us to build sandcastles, you know, at one end. And on the other end, you know, at the extreme end, it causes us to manipulate others or emotionally manipulate others through what we post or what people strategically post, you know, online.
The talk of the town is talking right now to Dr. Susanna Flores, the clinical psychologist and author of Facehooked. And, Doctor, can you hang on for a few minutes? We have
Absolutely.
To go to traffic, and we'll be back. And I have so many more questions.
Jim Buchanan's talking about what you're talking about. Stay tuned for Talk of the Town on WICC 600.
And for Jim Buchanan, I'm J.J. Kennedy, speaking with Dr. Susanna Flores. The talk of the town is talking about her book, Facehooked. Dr. Flores, I have so many questions for you. I'm going to try to kind of hone them down. But one of the things I was thinking about is that the kids today are so connected. They know everything about what's going on in the lives of their friends and other people, but not necessarily in life. I know that they can tell you. And plus, even with adults, I've heard so many people say to me, oh, that person's engaged. I didn't know about it. And this is a relative. And they said, oh, I said, how did you know that? I said, why am I always the last to know? And they said, oh, well, it was on Facebook. You know, it was on her status or whatever. And also arguments. I've heard friends say, oh, well, I had such an argument with her and it went back and forth. She's no longer my friend. They've unfriended or whatever it is. And, but it happened on Facebook and they don't even know each other that well, but they've had arguments on because of things people say. How do you even counter untruths about yourself that might be being posted by someone else on Facebook?
How do you counter it? You pick up the phone and you call that person.
Yeah, I guess. it boils down to picking up the phone, right?
Right. It seems simplistic enough, but more and more people, they are having texting wars. You know, we've known someone who, you know, who's done that, or, you know, I am in wars, or A lot of the direct communication that, you know, we have learned in previous generations, right?
Mm-hmm.
That is going away and being replaced with public slandering, right? If one person posts, and it's the public arena, right? That's what actually fuels a lot of these arguments. For those on Facebook, you know, if you don't believe me, just hang around around election time, and you will see, you know, the back and forth and back and forth. And, you know, it's because it's written in a public forum that we feel the need to defend our stance or to argue this stance. And see, and once again, this is a great example of how people are beginning to function out of these digital expressions, right? So instead of picking up the phone or instead of speaking to someone in person and saying,
right.
So when you wrote that, were you speaking about this or was this, you know, it seemed like it was a passive-aggressive statement towards me. Were you talking about me at all? Or, you know, I'm just checking in to see. See, that's the problem is that the more time we spend on social media and we function out of it, the less that we're having these direct and honest communications with
each other. That's true. It's not face to face. It's Facebook. It's a book.
Right.
But I wanted to talk to you about there are several topics. I don't know how much time we have, but one of the things is that I know that people are saying they get depressed because mm-hmm. one of the reasons, and they're not saying they get depressed, but they've heard that afterwards kids had been depressed because they're reading all these great things that friends are doing and posting pictures and mm-hmm. whatever, and they're not living up to the same level of excitement or whatever. And so they find themselves that – so what if Facebook validates the mm-hmm. good things that you want about yourself, it can also validate, hey, wait a minute, for the honest people, am I a loser? You know, I'm not going
right.
to these parties. I don't have this. I didn't do that. So
right.
it's
you know,
a bad validation as well.
Or it's a false one. You know, again, or it's a validation based on selective areas of a person's life, right? So very rarely do, you know, if you fall for someone on Facebook, like you see, like, okay, I take care of my elderly parents. I'm at the gym. I am taking care of these orphans. I'm at the gym again. I'm doing this. You know, we hear that, you know, most people on Facebook should be nodding their heads because the gym is a very, very popular post, right? And so, yes, it is validated in a particular area. And so, like, you know, in real life, if I'm comparing myself to a person, right, my self-esteem may take a hit, right? But what's happening on social media is that, you know, you are seeing mostly, for the most part, selective posting about a person's positive experiences or even made up positive experiences. And what was even more interesting to me about, you know, why we're becoming depressed, comparing ourselves to other people, is that some studies have shown that we're actually becoming depressed because we're comparing ourselves to our own avatars, meaning that, you know, if I am choosing a photograph where I'm
right.
10 years younger and
right.
20 pounds thinner,
right.
And, you know, all of this fabulosity is going on my created wall, right?
Mm-hmm.
My true reality does not reflect that, and so therefore I feel badly about myself.
That's...
So very rarely do people share, you know, the bad hair pick, right? You know, or
wow.
the...
That's
you know, or
really
the
good.
Embarrassing thing that happens. And so part of the guidelines that I do offer in my book, Facebook, is to post reality. You know, like if you do something embarrassing, do it. You know, and I myself have been challenged. I said I'm having a very bad hair day. Some people were like, post it. I was like, oh, boy, you feel that anxiety, right? But it's based on reality. Everybody has a bad hair day. Everybody has, you know, challenges. And, you know, one of the benefits of social media is being able to reach out and provide support, you know, and so that's one of the beneficial ways that we can
yes.
use it versus just, you know, pretending to be someone who we are not.
Right. I can really see that because, you know, if you could reach out and in psychology, in therapy, they say to normalize a situation, to make you see that you're not
right.
the only one suffering from this or this
Absolutely.
Is a normal process that, you
Absolutely.
Know, everybody has a bad hair day. Everybody eats too much during the holidays. You
yeah,
know, we're all
sure.
going through something and
everybody
we are all human.
Everybody has their insecurities, mm-hmm. right. You know, and again, that leads to the performing element of it, you know, and that's one of the things that make it so addicting. You know, that's another huge area of concern is the addiction to it, you know. You know, it's these photographs, you know, that's one of the elements that gets us very addicted. You know, we want to see more and more photographs or rather, you know, more than any other time in history have we taken so many photographs of ourselves, otherwise known as selfies.
Yes.
Right? You know, so in different situations, we're no longer just looking at situations. We're looking at situations that we can photograph ourselves in you know, and then edit ourselves. And so, you know, it's leading to this incredible level of narcissism.
Because it's so easy. We do it with our phone. We don't need Polaroids anymore. Dr. Flores, please don't go. I have a couple more questions. I promise you we'll end this soon. For Jim Buchanan, I'm J.J. Kennedy. Dr. Flores, first of all, I really appreciate all this time. This has been fascinating, but I have a couple more questions for you.
Sure.
All right, this is like Facebook is like, I know you're not criticizing Facebook, which is an interesting aspect as well, but you just talk about the ramifications of it. It's like the Wild West out there. There is no proper etiquette for Facebook. So how do you feel it can be reined in? Is your book an etiquette book on this? Is there any way we can? It is?
Yes, it does provide guidelines for every subject.
Wonderful.
One of the ones that I really hope that, you know, if people take away from it is the importance of privacy. You know, our generation is probably, and we're aging myself here, you know, probably one of the last to really appreciate and value privacy the way that we know it, because today's teens really do not understand the concept of privacy the way that it should be, right? And because it's so instant and so immediate, and as you put it, JJ, like, you know, the smartphone is right at our fingertips, right? So there's this impulsive compulsion to just post everything, right? And so to just take time to reflect and think about things before we post things. You know, we don't have to record every single thing. We don't have to share every single aspect. Mm-hmm. Yes, it does keep us more connected, but it also removes that element of privacy and, you know, valuing one-to-one conversations and keeping things that are supposed to be kept private, you know, outside of the public arena. Mm-hmm. As well. So, you know, like and we know that corporations are looking at us and they're receiving tons of information from us. And many of us don't care as long as we can continue to be performers or as long as we can, you know, have this incredibly powerful voice, we will continue to sacrifice our privacy. And I think that is also negatively affecting us and can, you know, it can certainly backfire when information we don't want out there gets out there. And once it's on the internet, it's forever.
You're absolutely right.
Facebook is not private. You know, that's an illusion, you know, to protect your privacy. If you're posting it, you know, everybody can have access to it at any time.
A lot of times when you're going for jobs, they'll say, clean up your Facebook before you, you know, go into the interview and stuff. Because the employers are looking at it. And
not only are employers, but colleges are. I used to work at a college. We certainly looked at people's profiles that were public. You know, maybe, you know, change your name or, you know, adjust certain things so that, you know, you are not that easily found. And just take a look. Like, you know, if you're comfortable, you know, announcing what you posted to the whole world, then leave it, right? But if you're hesitant at all, you might want to think twice before posting something.
Sometimes I don't think they know the difference, and it you almost need a professional to help you go through that Facebook.
That is exactly the
point
of the book.
And say, this is not. Oh, so that's in your book as well.
That's exactly. I'm glad you made that point, is that our understanding of what is private and what is public is now fused. You know, it's less clear than it used to be. Before Facebook, we understood if it happened in your home, this is a private matter. If it happened in the grocery store, that's for everybody to see. And because we're sharing of ourselves so much every single day, we're losing that sense, you know, that sensibility of what is more individual to me and my loved ones, you know, versus what everyone else needs to know.
The phrase, a little too much information comes to mind.
A little bit too much, exactly.
Now, how can, I know this came out in October, and how can people get Facehooked?
It is available now in Barnes & Noble and on Amazon. And so if you just Google Facebook, you should find me and my book.
I have one last question. I know I've eaten up a lot of your time, but this has been so fascinating. But if you have one piece of advice after all of this, now after we get off the phone, you know, I will mention some of the things that you do have in your book, the top 10 reasons you've been unfriended. I'll mention some of those. And signs that you're addicted. It's like alcoholism. It's amazing. But if you had one piece of advice to anyone going on Facebook or starting Facebook or in Facebook, what would that be after all learned?
I would say, you know, continue to enjoy social media. You benefit from social media. Continue to connect your social media. But make it second, you know, the importance you place on it should be second only to your offline reality. Right, to your real life relationships. Come back to those. You know, take an assessment of how much time you spend with your family or with your friends. When's the last time you had a dinner party, you know, where you actually met with your friends? When was the last time you actually called someone on their birthday? You know, make social media secondary. not a replacement for your reality.
That's very good advice. And also, the one thing I was thinking of, which I meant to mention earlier, is that, you know, when you have all of this out there, there's no sense of mystery about you, especially when it comes to, like, the opposite sex or dating. You know, do you want someone to know everything up front, or do should there be, like, that discovery, that sense of mystery? Is this new generation maybe not into that? I still kind of find it fun and exciting to have a relationship build that way.
My rule of thumb, what I tell my clients, it's an unpopular rule, but it is a beneficial rule, and I have had good feedback about it, is that if you are dating, you should not be Facebooking. It's actually a verb now, right? You should not be Facebooking for the first 3 months, and I really don't think there should be texting either, because there is value to having real-life conversations, or at least phone conversations, where you can see the inflection, right, the tone of voice. Because it's so easy to have so many misunderstandings or make interpretations based on this photograph that you saw or this post that you saw, you know. And so for that reason, especially with just dating, the beginning stages of dating should really be in person and phone only. You know, if you want to reach me, you want to communicate with me, do not text me. You pick up the phone and you call me. It also shows that you value my time and my energy and my presence.
Absolutely. That's really, now that's good advice as well. So.
Yeah. Thank you.
Dr. Susanna Flores, you've been amazing. You have this book called Face Hooked, and it's available at Amazon and also at Barnes & Noble.
Great.
And I can't tell you how much I appreciate your time on this.
Thank
this has been
so
great.
Much. I'm also available for, you know, I've presented at colleges and high schools and different organizations on privacy, social media. So anyone, again, you type in Facebook, you should find me on my website, and I would be happy to present at an event as well.
Well, you're accessible from many ways, because I found you in many different ways. But it's amazing how much information there is about you. And you are, I would imagine, more of a private person. So
I actually am, believe it or not. I am. You know, it's a paradox, is that, you know, since this book, I have to be everywhere on social media, and I am a very private person.
Yes.
So I have to balance it myself. I'm living paradox here.
Well, you do a good job of it. So thank you again. We really appreciate your time.
And thank you for having me on your show. This is fun. Anytime.
Thank you, Dr. Susanna Flores, who has given us the book Face Hooked. She's a clinical psychiatrist, a psychologist, and I'll tell you, she has done her research, and she certainly knows what she's talking about. This was really fascinating. I have read parts of it. I have to be honest with you. I have not read everything, but she has some wonderful things like the top 10 signs that you're addicted to Facebook, and it's very similar to being an alcoholic. It really is, especially one of the things I saw is if you lie about how much time you actually spend on Facebook to your friends, family members, therapists, coworkers, because I think a lot of people spend a lot more time on it than they would admit to.